Good morning. Anybody out there? All right. Nobody's feeling like that rooster that I sent in my email this week? Anybody see that? We're better than the rooster this morning? Awesome, awesome. Glad that you're here. Glad you're worshiping with us. Hope you feel the love of Christ this morning. If you are our guest this morning, we are especially glad that you have joined us. And invite you. There's a white card in the seat pocket in front of you. Would love for you to fill that out and let us know that you were here. And if you want to be added to our email list, we do a lot of communicating through email. We have a Wiley Methodist app. You can also bring this card at the end of the service. I'll be out in the foyer down at this end and have a free gift for our guests and would love to meet you. And you can bring that card or you can just leave it there in the seat when you leave. But glad that you are here, and if you'll keep those registration slips going around, make sure they get to everyone. Turn with me, if you would, to Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. I love Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. Beginning in verse 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Let's pray. So, Holy Spirit, we have invited you. We have your promise that where we are gathered together in your name, you are with us. And not only that, Holy Spirit, but you dwell inside of us. We pray, God, that through your Holy Spirit, that you will speak in power and authority today and transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Today's sermon, I thought I was going to start a series today, but that'll come later. Really felt led to go here today. Today's sermon is, I thank my God for you. And raise your hand if you're in the room. You're part of the you. I thank my God for you. I want to tell just a little snippet of my journey. Many of you have asked me some questions these last couple of weeks, and I want to kind of just give you a little snippet of my journey, so bear with me if you would. Most of you know most of this. Right out of high school, Cheryl and I were high school sweethearts. I got her while she was young, before she really, her brain had fully developed, and she liked me. Right out of high school, I went to computer school. I didn't go to traditional college. I went to Control Data Institute, where a phone call could change your life. Never mind. That was their slogan, I think. Anyway, went to computer school, spent 20 years in the IT field. COBOL, anybody remember COBOL? I was a COBOL programmer for a while. I was in the various companies, left the computer field in 2000. The Lord really changed my life in 1991. You've heard that story through a walk to Emmaus. And for the next 9 years or so, the Lord was preparing me and preparing my heart for ministry. So I left the computer field in 2000, didn't really have a job, and a lot of people thought I'd lost my mind. I want to do a shout out to my mom and my dad. Y'all believed in me. A lot of people thought that I'd absolutely lost it to walk away from this career that I'd spent 20 years in. And my mom and dad just, they believed in me. And that meant the world to me. So I spent, not shortly after I left the computer field, my brother was killed, and that really, it opened up a window of about 9 months or so there where I just went around and did evangelism. I just felt like the Lord was saying, man, you just need to go and share the hope of Christ with people that are hurting. And so I did that. I just put the word out, and I was usually about 3-4 times a week, I was traveling all over West Texas, just going to different churches. I did graduation services and all sorts of things, just sharing the love of Christ. And I did that for a little while. And then I spent about a year and a half in youth ministry. The last year and a half or so of that was here. I was licensed as, now this is I want to kind of, some of you have been wondering what happened 2 weeks ago and what's different. So I'm getting there. So I was licensed, that's a pretty important word, I was licensed as a United Methodist local pastor in 2001. Became pastor of this church in September of 2002. And so part of that process, there was some education that was required, and then there's other things that I just wanted to do. I wanted to get my college degree, which I had, like I said, I had a technical degree in the computer field, but did not have a traditional college degree. So I spent, long story short, I spent 6 summers at Duke Divinity School, 2003 through 7, and then another one in 2015. I spent 3 years, partial years, at CJC knocking out my basics and all this while I was pastoring here. And believe me, I remember when our church back in 2002, there was a split. If you don't know about that, I'm happy to tell you later, but I had just enrolled, I mean, literally, like the week before I became interim pastor here, I had enrolled in a college algebra class. I was 42 years old. I hadn't seen a college algebra, I hadn't seen an algebra statement in 20 years. And I told Cheryl, I said, Cheryl took it with me, as a matter of fact. We went through a lot of this together, but I told Cheryl, I said, man, the teacher said, okay, before he taught anything, he said, we're going to give a pretest. If you don't make a 70 or above on this pretest, you're probably going to fail this class and you probably ought to drop. And I think I made like a 52. And I told Cheryl, I said, oh, I just don't know if I can do it. I mean, I'm trying to be a pastor, and the church was in crisis at that moment. And I squeaked through. I made it through college algebra. I mean, with the Lord's help and my wife by my side. So 3 partial years at CJC, 3 more partial years at McMurray, 2 summers at Asbury Theological Seminary, 2 years. These last two, and I thought I was through. I had all my education done to become an elder. And then 2 years ago, when I turned it all in, I went, I'm done. They said, oh, by the way, you got to serve a 2-year provisional period. I'd been in the ministry for 17 years, and I had to serve a 2-year provisional period, which included a bunch more work. So I completed that in May and was approved, and as of June the 7th, about 2 weeks ago, I became a ordained elder in the United Methodist Church. Now, prior to that, as a licensed United Methodist pastor, I was actually pastoring under the authority of the bishop. I mean, the bishop was saying, I pass on my credentials to you, and I give you my authority to pastor this church. Well, now, me and the bishop got the same classification. I mean, he's a bishop, but we're both ordained elders in the United Methodist Church. And so I tell you all of that to say this. You guys were there with me the whole way. In many ways, and I'm so grateful for this church. You allowed me the time. I remember the first few summers when I went to Duke, there wasn't, I mean, I don't know, there was like 50 people in the church maybe, I don't know, and And now I've got three, four retired pastors in the church. I mean, I can pick up the phone and I've got four or five guys that I can call and say, hey, can you preach for me? But back then, I mean, I'd to fill the pulpit for 4 or 5 weeks was a dilemma. I actually got Jared to preach a couple of times. If you know Jared almost passed out, you know, the first time I asked him to do that. But y'all allowed me the time to be away. You supported me with prayerfully. You supported me emotionally. You supported me financially in all these different ways. And here, as I'm reading this text from today, I want you to, these are very personal verses to me because I think of you. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel. Being confident that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. You know, we're all in this together, church. We all share in that gospel. It's right for me to feel this way about all of you since I have you in my heart. All of you share in God's grace with me. Some of you saw there was a write-up in the paper a week ago Saturday, and one of the things that I told her when she was interviewing me for that piece is it has been and continues to be one of the greatest honors of my life to pastor Wiley Methodist Church. You guys are an incredibly blessed church, and you have been so good to me and my family. I actually remember I had someone when I became interim pastor. I was asked to do that, and Cheryl and I prayerfully accepted that. And I really thought it was just going to be for a few months. That was 17 years ago. And I remember someone told me, they sitting right across the desk from me, and they said, "Man, that this could get really ugly. I mean, these people could chew you up and spit you out." And I remember saying at that time, I didn't really know, and I just said, well, the Lord's telling me to do it. So if I get chewed up and spit out, it's just so be it. But it's been totally awesome and totally different from that. My experience has been, I wish everyone could pastor a church like Wiley Methodist. And I want to show you that. So, I've been asked, I graduated and did the ordination in a robe. And actually, where's Megan? Megan's back there with the youth. And Megan's dad was one of these four. So with four other gentlemen, we were ordained on June the 7th. And people have asked me, you going to wear a robe now? This is your one shot at seeing me in a dress right there. Megan's dad is the one standing right next to me. Anthony, Bobby, and Damon are the others, and the bishop there in the center. And many of you came to that, and it was a blessing. It really blew me away to see all of you there that were able to come. So that's just setting the stage for where I want to spend the bulk of my time this morning, and that is this. Paul's in verse 9, he's been giving thanks and appreciation and honor to the church there in Philippi, and he shifts it to the future. So he's been reflecting on what has been and what is, and he's reflecting on his prayer for this church. And it's amazing how these verses so correspond with my heart for this church. And so I want to look at four things here that this prayer is. My prayer for Wiley Methodist as we move forward is, first of all, that we love greatly. Paul said, my prayer is that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. So there's something, he's saying there's something unique about this love. It's not just this warm and fuzzy love. It's this love that's foundation is knowledge and depth of insight. So I've said this before, but sometimes I remember growing up, sometimes, you know, a belt on my backside was a loving act. I know some of you don't believe in spanking, but I'm still here, and I'm still here, and it didn't. But it was. I know that every time I got my little rear end busted, it was for my good. I know they were teaching me that certain behavior is not acceptable. So there's this this prayer that Paul had for this church in Philippi, and I have for us, is that we will continue to love greatly. And I've seen that in our church. I've seen that we are a loving church. And we're not a perfect, I tell people, we're not a perfect church, but we're really a loving and good church. And I thank you for that. Jesus himself said that this is a new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. And so you must love one another. And here's the fruit of that. By this love that we have for one another, all men will know that you are my disciples. It's the proof that we belong to Jesus when we love. And when we love on his behalf. My oldest daughter, Kirby, and I've been taking the girls out on a daddy date for their birthday since they were old enough to walk, really. And we still do that. And Kirby and I went on a daddy date this past week, and we went to see the movie Breakthrough. Anybody seen the movie Breakthrough? I don't know how long it'll be in town, but if you haven't seen it, it's a powerful movie. It's about this boy who basically falls through the ice and is left, basically, they think he has no chance to survive, and then the story of how all that comes about. And I remember at the end of the movie, the mom who literally fought for his life through prayer and by his bedside and so forth, I remember her saying this. She was giving testimony to the church at the end, and she said something to the effect of, the most powerful weapon in the world is love. The most powerful weapon in the world is love. You know, our tendency is, when we've been hurt, our tendency is to strike back. But love is the most powerful thing there is in the whole universe. And man, if we can tap in to the love of Christ, and I'm reminded as I think about that, I'm thinking about these, that Jesus has just been nailed to a cross, and as he's hanging on the cross, and he's looking down at these people who've done this to him, who have falsely accused him, and who have whipped him and punished him and nailed him to a cross and are mocking him. And what does he say? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That's the love of Christ that we are to strive for. Secondly, my prayer for Wiley Methodist is that we desire to be blameless. We desire to be blameless. Philippians 10th verse, and my prayer is that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. Now, we know that we can only do that through the power of the Holy Spirit in us. There is nothing more damaging than a fallen, professing Christian. I mean, that if you are bold with your faith and you stumble and you fall, it's damaging. And I put myself at the very top of that list, because pastors, when a pastor falls, so damaging to the gospel. So damaging to the gospel. We should be in this pursuit of holiness. John Wesley, the founder of the United Methodist Church, talked all the time. His emphasis was Christian perfection, going on to holiness, moving on to holiness. And he called this term sanctifying grace, this sanctification, this purification that's happening in us. And it's in once we are saved through faith in Christ, there's this. That's not the finish line. That's the starting gate. We should be in this process of becoming holy, moving on to perfection, to become pure and blameless until the day of Christ Jesus. And so, church, I just, you know, as you conduct yourselves in life, at work. I really hadn't planned on going here, but I will. Cheryl and I have been kind of struggling. We've had some different events these last few weeks that where people that, man, they just, they have no integrity. You ever run across that? Where you just, you're dealing with people, and it's like they'll tell you something and they don't do it, or they tell you something and do something else, or they just treat you, I mean, just no integrity. And sometimes that you can just kind of go, you just begin to kind of lose your faith in your fellow man. It's like, man, we should be a people that's striving for perfection, striving to be blameless, when how we conduct our little things, how we treat other people in the at work, or at the grocery store, or in line at the bank, or in traffic, or whatever, you know, our spouse, our children, how we treat people, our desire to be blameless. That's my prayer, is that we would be in that pursuit of perfection. Third thing, my prayer for Wiley Methodist is that we seek the righteousness of Jesus. We seek the righteousness of Jesus. See, and Paul said in verse 11, he said, that you may be, my prayer is that you may be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. Not our own righteousness. Scripture tells us that we are, through faith in Christ, we are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Don't you like that? Just that imagery of it's like, and I've done this before, but how Christ, when we it's as if we have this this dirty coat of filthy rags that's our sin, and Christ has, as he's dressed in this beautiful white robe of righteousness, and at the cross he exchanged those with us. He took upon himself our filthy rags and nailed those things to the cross. But then he didn't stop there. Then he clothed us with his righteousness. And so it's to seek his righteousness. It's this pursuit. And yes, that righteousness comes from Christ through the Holy Spirit, but also we can place ourselves in positions to receive that. Being in the Word, coming to church, being prayerful, just, you know, just anything that where we are just immersing ourselves with Christ. 2 Corinthians says it this way: God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So this exchange happens. We are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. This Savior who had no sin took our sin so that we might become his righteousness. That's my prayer, is that as we move forward, that we will become more and more like Jesus. And fourthly, my prayer for Wiley Methodist is that we exist to bring praise and glory to God. We exist to bring praise and glory to God. This passage in 1 Peter says it this way: you're a chosen people, church. You're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, so we're his people, and there's a purpose. We're chosen by him, we're his people, so that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this wonderful light. So we are chosen by God, we are his people, we are a holy nation, a royal priesthood, so that we may bring praise to him, we may bring glory to him. So how are we doing, church? How are we doing in that? Is our daily walk, are we bringing him glory? I mean, do people look at us and go, whew, I want whatever he's got. I want whatever she's got. Because when circumstances are out of control, there's something still about this person that there's a calm there. There's a calm in the midst of the crisis, in the midst of the storm. Are we walking that out? Because that brings glory to God. It brings glory to God. And I've seen it in so many of you. I've seen it in so many of you. So, church, that's my prayer. As we move forward, first of all, thank you for the journey thus far. But I don't know, you know, to me, ordination was, not, I'm not through. I hope you're not through. There's more. So I want you to think about the people in your circle, in your family members, coworkers, someone that works out with you. That's me. That was first. My first thought was somebody that works out with me. Right, Cheryl? Sometimes when I'm changing the channel, I see a little snippet of a workout. That's. The people in your circle, I want you to think about them, and I want you to think about, do all of them know Jesus? Do all of them have the hope of Jesus? Just think about it for a second. Let your mind run through those people. Okay, so the ones that don't have the hope that comes from Christ, which ones do we want to mark off our list? Not worth the time. Just in your mind, go ahead and just put an X on those people. Like, they're not worthy to hear the hope of Christ. So I will just mark them off. Save my time. Man, I began my ministry with this word from the Lord. I really felt like he shared with me, there's hurting people everywhere. They're all around us. They're all around us. And we have hope. We have hope to share, and his name is Jesus. As we move forward, church, I hope that we will continue to press in. We will love greatly. We will desire to be blameless. We will seek the righteousness of Christ, and we will bring praise and honor to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you bow your heads with me. Father, you are so good. You're so good to us. Because, Father, we confess that as you look down from the cross at those who had betrayed you and those who were mocking you and those who had failed you in so many ways, we really confess that we were in that crowd too. We held the hammer and we held the nails. And yet, you love us. You have redeemed us with an outstretched hand. You have given your body and blood for our sake so that we might be made whole. I give you thanks for this body of believers that you have assembled and you have called us, or I guess we call ourselves Wiley Methodist Church, but you have assembled us, and I know, God, that you have a heart for us for the future. You want us to be faithful and you want us to be fruitful. Give us that same heart. Show us what you'd have us to do, who you'd have us to love. In Jesus' name.